ready.
I'm ready. Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I am Shayla.
I'm Justin.
And we are
Scaredy Cats. We be scaredy chatting.
Well, we're scaredy cats.
Oh, you're right.
And this is scaredy chats.
Shoot. Oh, should we redo it?
Redo.
Too bad. No, we're not going to do that. It's episode 2.
Oops. Forgot to turn my phone off.
How dare you?
I don't know how to do it.
Oh my god, boomer.
Fun fact, so I got my iPad like... Sorry.
I spilled one.
Fun fact of a fun fact. I was going to get water for Justin and I because, you know, we got to take care of our vocal cords. Mm-hmm. And decided
to get... She's the Messiah.
Yes. Yeah, so instead I got some wine by Winking Owl Sweet Red. Is this from Aldi?
That is from the... Yes, it is from Aldi, I believe.
I know it was from the Airbnb.
It's from the Airbnb romance packet.
Oh, yeah. All that to say is Justin just spilled his wine on his shirt. So I bought my iPad a couple years ago, and I still to this day don't know how to lower the volume on the iPad.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
It's like, not this?
I have it all the way down. I have
You don't have the ringer?
Oh, okay. But you see, my ringer doesn't fully go mute.
Huh.
So, my bad. So, yeah. The issue with my iPad.
If and you just weren't so popular.
Do not disturb apparently does not
it won't
work. Anyway, so this is Scaredy Chats.
Yeah,
episode two.
What movie are we watching this week?
This week, we are going to recap the movie Smile.
Smile. Oh yeah, this is a new movie.
Yes, it came 2022, which again, I was telling Justin this. Look, there you go again with the iPad. Oh, and there you go again.
Bro.
It's on Do Not Disturb. It's literally on Do Not Disturb. And the volume is as low as I can make it. Anyway, so we're watching Smile. We recently watched Smile 2, which is...
It just came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's still in theaters. And I would watch it again. But that inspired us to watch the first Smile again.
Yeah.
And to do our second episode on this movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if Insidious was a, like, well, not call it a classic, but a older generation of horror movies, this is more modern.
I think what's different about Smile is it doesn't do paranormal in the way that it originally is done in movies.
Mm-hmm. It's also not really, like... We don't learn much more about the weird stuff going on.
Yes.
It's more just how people handle it.
Exactly. So.
Whereas I feel like Insidious, it's like it's a lot of it is in the mystery fiction part of it.
But anyway, so this is a movie that we saw probably early on in our relationship.
Yeah, probably one of the first horror movies I watched in theaters.
Yeah, and so. That. Fun fact about this movie, when I first watched it, I didn't like it and I thought it was very cheesy. It was whatever to me. And then I read the reviews on it, and apparently this movie was like really top rated for the like the movies of the year, like recap stuff.
I do remember you being kind of not into it, but I also feel like it doesn't have the things in horror that you generally like.
Like what?
Scary funniness, in a sense.
Yeah, this movie's a lot more serious.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's very psychologically thrilling.
Yeah.
That's a word. This movie is about Rose Cotter, who is a therapist. After witnessing a bizarre traumatic incident involving a patient, Dr. Rose Cotter starts experiencing frightening occurrences that she can't explain. As an overwhelming terror begins taking over her life, Rose must confront her troubling past in order to survive and escape her horrifying new reality. Too long didn't read, or too long didn't listen to.
Yeah, I kind of
essentially,
out.
Story of my life. Essentially, Rose witnesses this crazy situation, and then she basically starts to, like, downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole movie is about, like, the progression of her spiraling. And so that's what we're going to be chatting about mm-hmm. today.
And the crappy people in her life.
That is true. I mean, I would spiral just out of having people like that in my life.
Yeah, there's no way.
So the cast for this movie, okay, I think her name is Sozy Bacon. Because the other day I was trying to say it and I said Saucy Bacon.
Saucy Bacon,
and
that
surely is not it. It's Sozy Bacon.
Probably.
And Justin and I had a brief conversation about this because I was saying that this lady showed up on my screen and I immediately had to find out who she reminded me of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it for a while, and it hit me that this lady looks just like Gina Rodriguez. So this is what I said. Okay, yeah, before I get, like, misportrayed.
I'm going to slander you.
Whatever, exactly. I get canceled. I basically said that I love mouths like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so fascinating to me. I think they're so unique.
Yeah, they're upside down.
Because you said it was like an upside down mouth. But I told Justin that that mouth, in my mind, I immediately associated with a fish. But in like, not a bad way, if that makes sense.
So, knowing you, I know you're not meaning that in a bad way. But there's no way that you could tell someone, like, let's say you meet Gina Rodriguez on the street and be like, hey, that, your mouth, love it. It looks like a fish. There's no way that's not.
Well, I'm not going to go up to someone telling their mouth looks like a fish.
Fair.
But I'm just saying, it just, that's the association that, like, comes up in my mind. But in, like, the best way ever. It's, like, not in a mean way. It just reminds me of a fish.
Yeah. I mean, I understand you. I hear it and I see it. I just don't know if it's worth it.
But anyway, so...
shall we begin, my dear?
Yes.
Hello, Editing Justin here. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up that this movie contains instances of suicide, self-harm, and mental illness. If any of that feels like too much right now, feel free to skip this one or come back when you're ready. Okay, goodbye.
So we start off with this shot of a lady laying in bed. And she's very clearly, like, overdosing.
Yeah. Empty pill bottles.
Yes. It does this cool rotation shot thing, which reminds me... we see a few times. Yeah, we see, like, these very
cool... it kind of makes me dizzy sometimes. I'm very vertigo sensitive. I'm a little baby. Say
vitiligo.
No, that's on my knees.
But it has this cool rotation shot, and it pans to the room, which... looks exactly like our bedroom. It has
not right
food
now.
Not right now because we're cleaning today
as I sit on some laundry.
Yeah, but there's a big pile of laundry next to Justin right now.
It's folded
thanks to me.
Thanks to you.
Exactly.
Lord knows when it's gonna get moved to the bedroom, but
never will. So the room has food everywhere, like potato chip bags, pill bottles spilled. And it looks like our bedroom when things are awry.
We're focused on other stuff in our lives.
True, true, true. And a kid shows up, and this kid sees her.
Yeah,
and
she's like 10.
She's like scared. 10. She looks terrified. All of a sudden, boom, it pans to Rose Cotter, who is now an adult. And she seemed to have had this bad dream.
Yeah, was asleep at her desk at work. From there, we go, and she's doing her job, so she's a therapist, and she's meeting with one of her patients.
Carl.
Carl.
Is an interesting name.
Yeah. I think the Carl. Subtitles is also Carl with a K, but Carl I could be wrong.
Carl with a K. I don't know how I feel about people whose names that are like C names are K names. And as I said that, I just thought about
your own middle name?
My own middle name.
I mean, I also don't know how I feel about that.
But anyways, so this man named Carl shows up to her. Well, it's not a practice. It's like a hospital.
Yeah, she works at a psych hospital.
And yeah, we learned that she is a psych therapist, psychiatrist. I don't know. They didn't really...
The movie was flippy-floppy with the terminology.
Ambiguous.
Yeah.
Vague about it. But she suggests that this man is having a manic episode because he continues repeating things
Mom's
like,
gonna die.
You're
going to
die.
She's going to die. He doesn't matter.
We're all going to die. Yeah. This isn't that.
Nihilistic and not doing okay.
Very much like what my thoughts are like.
I was, you know, I wrote down Shayla, internal monologue, but then I was like, that's a little too dark.
That's literally me. Anytime Justin has to like leave the house or like, I have to go on a flight or someone has a doctor's appointment. That's what my monologue is like. We're going to die. We're all going to die. Oh, my God. Like the scene in Barbie when they're dancing and all of a sudden it's like, you ever think about death?
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that. That's me.
You are Barbie.
That was very relatable. Thank you. She tells Carl that he's having a manic episode.
Yeah. I know what you're experiencing feels real, but it can't hurt you. Big disagree.
Very big disagree. It could hurt you.
Yeah,
actually.
It does hurt.
I think a lot of people have gotten hurt
like
from
pain
manic
is real.
Episodes.
Yeah.
So, 1-star review for Dr. Cotter.
Yeah, there. Agree.
One of my worst fears is that you're kind of dealing with some spiritual things going on that make you appear, go through like this mental meltdown, and having people not just believe you.
That is a special kind of horror. One of the main horror ways this movie touches on the entire time, which is cool.
So we're introduced to Rose's boss, whose name I have no clue what it is. I'm just going to call him Rose's boss.
This actor is also a psychiatrist, therapist in How I Met Your Mother. His name is Kevin. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to call him Kevin.
Yeah, so he's Kevin. He starts dating his patient.
Oh. Not good. What?
Well, she stopped going to him.
I feel like that's...
This show is weird.
Definitely.
Know if it holds up. It's funny, but I don't know if it holds up.
Can't he lose his license for that?
Yeah. Should.
Anyways, fast forward. Oh, this is, by the way, all the intro.
Yeah,
we haven't gotten to the cold
open into this.
Exactly. So this grad student comes in. And
not just comes in, is taken out of the ambulance and is like strapped into the stretcher. And
is she really?
Yeah, that was the shot before. It was a super big like drone shot over an ambulance pulling up. The girls in the stretcher were like far away. She's like, like screaming, not okay, restrained.
I didn't know that.
Then it cuts in, and then the girl's there.
Every time a drone shot shows up, I take that as like my cue to take a break.
Mental checkout.
Exactly.
This was early enough in the movie where I was still able to like focus on every scene, and then I would get distracted later.
But this movie had commercials or
not? Oh yeah, we watched it on Hulu because
it had ads, which I think were appropriately timed and also helped me with like my ADHD.
Yeah, it's a nice little mental break to think about or to see a diaper commercial.
Yeah. So this grad student comes in, and we learn that her professor bludgeoned himself with a hammer during office hours.
Yeah, not just office hours, a one-on-one meeting with her PhD advisor.
That's scary.
Yeah. I've had some bad advisor meetings, but, you know.
Don't say that on the pod. But anyway, so we learned that the professor bludgeoned himself with a hammer, and she witnessed this. Mm-hmm. And now she's coming in, and she's very clearly distraught.
Yeah,
messed up. Looks like she hasn't brushed her hair. What is she wearing, like a plaid shirt? I feel like anytime you see someone wearing a plaid shirt and like their hair, like just a
hot mess. Just like code for like crisis.
That's what like every movie portrays them as. That or a hoodie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A hoodie that's like kind of ratty.
Which I feel like you could very much be distraught and not look like that.
I will admit that like if I was distraught like that.
You would look like that.
I absolutely would be sleeping in that hoodie and then waking up and going about my day.
So Rose Cotter and the grad student are sitting in these blue plastic chairs that look very uncomfy.
Mm-hmm.
And these chairs reminded me of these yellow playground chairs that I had as a kid that mm-hmm. were Tykes chairs. And
the, like, yellow ones, the super thick legs.
Super thick legs, super mm-hmm. thick, like, it's just a square.
Yeah.
Those were, like, my family had those up until I was probably, like, an undergrad, and I genuinely have no clue what happened to them.
Your mom probably just threw them out one day.
She probably did. My mom throws out, like, things that I really need afterwards.
Like those little Tykes chairs.
And then she keeps things that I don't need.
True.
So the PhD student comes in and she says my favorite line of the entire movie, absolutely crazy. She says, I'm a PhD student, I'm not some lunatic. Which to me is completely bananas because mm-hmm. I feel like...
Well, that's how you know she's insane.
That's exactly. She says, I'm a PhD candidate.
Yes.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My bad. So
I'm a PhD candidate, I'm not some lunatic. Okay, you are insane because you don't recognize the lunacy that you have.
You are insane because you are a PhD candidate.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Because no one goes into grad school unless you're absolutely mm-hmm. bonkers.
I'm still recovering.
You still are.
Yeah.
And I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah. And you're about to, like, level up in your amount of...
I'm not
of
there yet.
Craziness. Yeah.
I'm not
right now
there
you're
yet.
Just a student level crazy. Soon you'll be a candidate level crazy. And also just like... Okay, even if you are a PhD candidate, like, good for you. That doesn't mean you can't have mental health problems.
Exactly.
Jerk.
All of a sudden you think that because
like,
you
I'm smarter than mental health
this
issues.
This level of education is supposed to correlate with your mental health, mental well-being. Mm-hmm. Which, again, I'd like to reiterate that I feel like if you are in grad school, you probably are mentally ill.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Either there's a multiple factors that, like, either... You are mentally ill, so you decided to go into grad school, or grad school made you ill, or both?
It's both for me.
It's both for
me. It's both for me.
Pretty sure it's mostly both.
And here I am in Gainesville now.
Yeah.
Just stuck with it.
Hey, you got me out of it.
So, essentially...
No comment. Anyway.
So essentially, Dr. Cotter is telling her, like, hey, this isn't real, it's all in your head. And then all of a sudden, this grad student, whose name we don't know, just goes absolutely bonkers.
This scared me.
I wasn't too scared by that, but maybe it's, I don't know, I feel like that's something I'd do. So anyway, so she goes bananas, and she's like throwing herself on the floor, and just like yelling at something that we can't see. Mm-hmm. And at this point, we kind of, like, I'm expecting to see, like, something see behind something. Rose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it was well shot. Yes, the movie, like, builds up so much tension, because I genuinely was like, I'm going to see something behind Rose, mm-hmm. and it's not there, and I'm just, like, clenching.
Yeah, you're, like, based on the victims, the PhD candidates, excuse me.
Oh, yes.
Not a victim. Acting and movement, yeah. You're, like, when you only see her, it looks like it's real, then they cut to, like, you see the whole room, and it's like, oh, there. She's just making it up, she is crazy.
There's nothing there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rose, as anyone else would do, goes runs to the phone and calls security for help.
Yeah.
And after she does that, she turns around and she sees the first jump scare, the first smile of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
This actress did an amazing job at doing such a creepy smile. She did such a good job that she became the poster.
Did she really?
That's the impressive. Smile of the poster.
That's impressive.
She's smiling. She grabs a shard where I have no clue. A
pot broke.
Okay, I was like, where did she get that?
Like a plant pot, yeah.
Yeah, so a pot broke. She grabs a shard. She goes ahead and she carves, like, this smile-like thing. Ooh. Starting from, like, her jawbone up
very
to, like,
freaky.
Her jugular across her entire neck.
Yeah.
Falls to the ground, is bleeding. There is a massive pool of blood. And the nurses come in. This one nurse comes. And what does he do, Justin?
He basically sticks his finger to try and find a pulse in her neck, though her neck is already, like, open and she's bled out gallons already at this point.
Yes.
And this poor, I respect his dedication, but, like, she was gone.
She was very, maybe it was, like, protocol.
Yeah, I mean, if someone asked him, did you check her pulse? No, I guess, yeah.
That's true.
But his fingers basically went all the way to her spine and esophagus from that. Based on where she cut. So Rose saw that and is really traumatized and freaked out.
Then, boom, this cuts to...
Oh, the credits. The title sequence thing.
Where it says...
Yeah, red and black.
Like, flashes and everything.
Yeah, kind of like Insidious.
So we move into part two of the movie. In part two of the movie, the cops come in and they start to ask Rose what happened. These cops are very candid. They seem to have no filter.
Yeah, they're just like, okay, she's crazy.
Yeah.
Whatever, that's, you know, done and done.
Which at certain point, I think, like, my first initial thought when I was watching that scene is, oh, they're really, like, playing it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started thinking now as I'm talking through it, is like, no, I think cops are really like that.
Well, like, yeah, all right. Someone committed suicide in a psychiatric hospital.
I can totally see a cop.
Yeah. What cop is not, like, you know, some obviously could handle it, that, but, like, others would just be like, okay, yeah, loony bin.
So, Rose goes home, which is fairly large for...
Way too large.
Someone who does not have children.
Devoid of joy and life.
Yes, very basic. They did a good job with the set.
Yeah, absolutely.
That home looked a little sad.
It looks so sad. She also pours herself the smallest glass of wine... And then finishes it in two sips and then pours another smallest glass of wine ever. And I'm like, why not just pour a big glass of wine? It's like, if you know when you, like, have a donut and then you cut it in half and
That's
then you cut it
I
in
do.
Half again and you go and you take a quarter and then in, like, 15 minutes you go and eat another quarter.
That's what I do.
Yeah. It's like...
But let me tell you the psychology behind it.
Okay, tell
my
me.
My dear.
Tell me.
It's so that I feel like there's more donut left.
I get that.
If I take the whole donut and I eat it at once, it's like I have no enjoyment.
Yeah.
If I cut it, I know I have more donut later. And maybe it's the same thing. Anyway, so she's very clearly distraught. She looks in the corner and she sees a smiling thing, person, girl, which I think is, like, the person she witnessed, the PhD candidate. Is that who she saw?
I didn't think that. That to me looked like what we later know as, like, either her younger self or her mom. Like,
oh.
With, like, the ring, hair forward type of thing.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. But anyways, this is the first time she, like, hallucinates something.
Yeah.
And so she drops her wine glass and her boyfriend comes in. Not her boyfriend. Her fiance comes in. Mm-hmm. His name is Trevor.
Thank you.
They have this scene where they have absolutely zero chemistry with each other.
These two hate each other.
Zero chemistry.
Either the actors hate each other or they're just playing a really good...
Yeah. They either deserve an Oscar for how terrible they look like they can't stand each other.
Mm-hmm.
It pans to a dinner scene where we meet her sister Holly, who, by the way, sucks
the
so
worst.
Much.
The worst.
She is like your stereotypical soccer mom, PTA mom. Like,
life
they wrote
is so
her pretty
hard.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I started wondering what the point of this scene was. When we learn that essentially there is a birthday party for Holly's son that's coming up. So we learn at the dinner scene that they have a house that's their family house that they're trying to figure out what to do with. And so Holly is trying to like burn this house to the ground. And
they
Rose,
just want to sell the land.
Yeah. And Rose just is like, whatever, indifferent mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
Later, they come back home. There's this close up of cat food. I don't know what else that scene. Like, what did
just,
that say?
They have
bring?
A cat. But, we forgot to say.
Oh, true. Our
we forgot
kitty
to say,
cat of the week.
The first kitty cat
the
of
the
show.
First scary cat first... of the show.
Yeah. Mustache.
Mustache.
Little mustache.
Mustache. What a name.
Yeah. Also spelled Mustache.
Is that not how you spell mustache?
I guess sometimes it is. I always kind of do it like mouse-stache.
The next day comes, and we learn that Rose knows one of the cops. It's kind of implied that they had some sort of romantic history, but nothing really
nothing
comes
explicit,
out of
but
that.
They definitely yeah. had something.
Yeah, and so I was just thinking, like, this is such a cheesy...
It's, yeah.
It's very cheesy.
Love triangle.
Yes, very, very cheesy. So she keeps having these weird encounters, gets to the point where her boss, Kevin... brings her into his office and is like, hey, you're working 80-hour work weeks, which
yeah,
is
I would die.
That's a sign that she's like absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Because
well,
how?
She just got no life.
How?
When you're dating a fiance that you hate and have an empty home.
I could barely work my work hours, but
I'm currently unemployed and I can't even do that.
Justin could barely be unemployed. But the boss gives her a week off and is like, okay, take a week. And my thing when they said that is like, oh, this is like to set up the plot for like, this is all going to happen over the span of a week. But she goes home, she opens her fridge, has a Sunkist in there, which is like product
She had
placement.
One of each Coke product. It was like a Sprite, a Diet Coke, a
Did
Sunkist.
Did she really?
And I'm like, who in the world, like, unless she bought the variety pack, like you just put one... of each in there. Psychopath behavior.
I didn't notice that. I only saw the Sunkist.
No, there was like a Sprite, a Diet Coke, a something else in the
yeah,
Sunkist.
They got like that ad sponsorship
yeah, absolutely.
Money from that.
Absolutely.
But anyway, she's sitting there and she gets this alarm that goes off. Her first instinct is to grab a scissor. Which out of all the possible weapons you can grab.
Let me just grab some scissors by the blade.
I feel like my go-to would be a knife. Or, like, today, I was talking to my advisor today about this axe that we have hung up on our wall.
It's Kratos' Leviathan axe, for those in the know.
Yeah, what he said.
Gifted to me by my incredible girlfriend.
I did. I, like, that thing was, I think, the best gift I've given.
For sure.
Is that axe. But anyways, that axe is pretty sharp. So, like, if someone were to come into
it's
our home.
It's kind of heavy. It's legit metal. Like,
yeah. If someone were to come into our home, like.
That's the weapon
mind
to go
you,
for.
I think there's good weapons, but you also can't... I can't run from the bedroom to the front door to grab
Wait!
My ass. Wait, let me go get my ass for a second.
This is the second time we talk about home invasions on the show.
Dude, I've been telling Justin that we need to get a home alarm system because you never know.
Incoming sponsorship. Always... Hey, if anyone wants... if any home security system wants to sponsor us...
ADT, is that the name of it?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we had it, but we had a sign out front. So we just had the ADT sign.
It's giving beware of dog sign
without
actually having a dog.
Exactly.
Or having a dog
like
Polo.
Yeah,
which we had for the longest time. But in our defense, we didn't put that sign up.
The
we just
was
kept
just there.
It up.
Yeah.
We kept it up.
Exactly.
Anyway, so her alarm goes off. She grabs this pair of scissors, which she's not even holding correctly.
Sheila.
What?
What's the correct way to hold scissors for a weapon?
Okay, it depends, though. I'm glad you said for a weapon, because...
Yeah, obviously not, like...
Side note. One of my biggest pet peeves is... Well, I wouldn't say biggest, but one of my pet peeves is the way people grab scissors. Like, when you go to grab a scissor to walk, you have to hold the scissor edge on your hand.
Yeah.
You can't walk with your hand on the cutting... Not the cutting part. On the part where the your fingers go. Your hand has to be around the scissors.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're not...
You could stab yourself in the eye.
Or you can, like... Yes. Or you can fall and trip on someone. I don't know.
How far are you walking with these scissors?
I don't know. I would hold them, like... The top part of the scissor on my, like, hand. I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, like you would grip it over...
I would grip it, yeah.
For more stabbing power without finger tension.
Breaking. I guess.
Okay.
I guess. Okay. I don't know. She grabs the scissors. She gets an alarm... Not an alarm call. She gets a call from the alarm system place. Mm-hmm. And they ask her what the password is. And she says...
Acapulco. They probably went on vacation and bought the alarm system for that vacation. And so they were pretty clever.
Acapulco.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is, like, one, why is that your password? And two, like, you could try to say it the right way. Acapulco.
Mm.
But.
I mean, I feel like that's on brand, though. There's no way they'd be like, Acapulco.
Acapulco.
There's no way.
Anyway, so the phone lady tells her, hey, is there anyone in your house? And she's like, no. And then she's like, are you sure?
Yeah, that was creepy.
Are you sure you didn't let anyone in?
Yeah. Going from, like, customer service voice to, are you sure?
Are you sure?
I can't do
and
it
then
as
they
well,
say, but... look behind you. And I was
Mama.
Scared. Mama, a smile behind you. I was scared because the way I'm sitting while watching this movie... is my back is to our...
Like, open...
Yes.
Hallway. Yes,
exactly. And so I'm afraid that there's some kind of evil spirit behind me. So I feel like the hairs in the back of my neck just stand up.
Yeah.
But anyways, the cops come, Trevor comes back, and then Trevor, of course, is useless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just...
Rose, what's wrong?
Trevor is useless. I didn't like the actor whatsoever. If he did a good job at anything, it's irritating the crap out of me.
We also forgot to say, the phone call was a hallucination. Like, very intense
yes.
one.
Yes, how could I forget about that?
Yeah. So
she hallucinated that because moments later, the phone actually rings and it's not even in her hands.
Yeah. So, like, something is up with her. And, like, it's kind of confusing. We know that she's seeing things.
Yeah.
And, like, going a little, like, crazy.
Yes.
From that world's perspective.
At this point, if I were her, a licensed professional, and I started seeing things and hearing these things, I would go seek help.
Yes.
Immediately.
Which
like, give me
she
some
does.
Medication.
Which she does.
Not yet.
Pretty
Actually,
soon.
I don't know. Actually, she does. She does. She
right?
does. My bad.
So, all right. She's being somewhat rational, in a sense. I would argue not the most...
Remember Mustache that we spoke about in the beginning? He's missing.
Poor guy.
Missing. Haven't seen Mustache. She's going around town looking... Not around town. She's going around her home.
Yeah.
Calling for Mustache.
Freaking Trevor doesn't give
a food.
Crap.
Trevor is nowhere to be found. Again, Trevor did an amazing job of irritating me so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Because... he was a useless partner.
Yeah.
They also didn't mention what his job was.
He just gives finance, bro.
Because he does, like, cryptocurrency. Crypto guy. Well, crypto probably wasn't around. Oh, yeah, it was around.
He was 22.
This is the new movie.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like his business was, like, too established to be crypto.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I don't know.
He does give me, like, a small business entrepreneur. But, like, not successful entrepreneur. Or, like, a
like
fitness
his.
Bro, too. But, no,
that's
he's
like
dressed in, like, suits.
Nah, he's, like, yeah.
Anyway, so Trevor's contribution to all of this is zero, other than just, like, probably really annoying the viewer.
Absolutely.
So, Rose goes to sleep. She has a dream of her mom, which ends up being the woman at the beginning of the movie who had, like, overdosed.
Yeah.
So she gets up, night comes, and she's listening to the audio of the graduate
candidate. Recording of her, I was about to call it an interview, but it's probably not that.
Like a session?
Just, yeah, her session with the graduate, the PhD candidate.
The PhD candidate. Mm-hmm. So she's listening to the audio. As she finds the audio, she realizes that there's like this whisper in the background, which you could play that scene for me like 10 times and I still wouldn't be able to hear
it.
I heard it.
So she, I didn't hear it. She's looking at the audio waveform on whatever software and like
it, Ableton.
Do you even know what that is?
I do know what Ableton is. Okay. I have it in my like 2013 Mac.
Fair enough.
That's probably what crashed my computer.
Could be. Shout out to Audacity for being pretty
easy. For our podcast needs.
Mm-hmm. Sponsor us. Anyways, yeah, so she's looking at the waveform and like you can kind of hear Rose. It says her name, but there's no like spikes. Rose. Don't bonus ASMR for all of you.
So anyways,
yeah, so you're like, it plays, she's trying to play it back and back, and so like for me, I'm zooming in like trying to really hear it, and like you're getting closer and closer. It's a dark room out. She has headphones on, you're just trying to hear what is going on. And then all of a sudden, like, right over her shoulder, it's just, Rose! Like, it shouts. It's her mom's image shouting at her. When this was my scaredy chat moment where that freaked me out and made me yelp because I was, like, you ever had those moments? You're wearing headphones in a dark room and, like, you're in a different world and then something brings you right back to reality.
No. I would never be in a dark room wearing headphones because that that's a recipe for like a conjuring to happen.
Fair. I'm just saying I've had that happen and that's scary as heck.
That is actually my scaredy cat moment as well because, mind you, this Justin and I take different approaches. My approach is I try to tell myself whenever there's like, because you know in scary movies they have the tension, they build up the music.
Yeah,
you know something's gonna happen. Yes. Either they're gonna do a fake scare or it's an actual scare.
Yeah.
My reaction is I internally start telling myself, something's gonna happen, you're not gonna get scared because you already know something's gonna happen, so you're gonna anticipate it. So I tell myself, okay, someone could come from this corner, someone could come from this corner, they're gonna like pop something up, there's gonna be a person smiling
in
the corner.
So you're just in hypervigilance mode all the time.
I am. Yes, in my life all the time.
Yeah.
But watching movies only when they pop up that tension.
Mm.
So I'm here waiting for like the worst to happen.
Thing. Yeah.
When all of a sudden, you just don't expect the scare pop. What is it called? The jump scare. You don't expect the jump scare to come right next to Rose.
Yeah.
It literally was, like, right next to
like
her.
Like, it goes from, like, you zooming into this computer screen, yeah. I think, to, like, snapping right over her shoulder.
Yes, all of a sudden, Rose!
Yeah.
And so, that was my scary cat moment, because I jumped.
Yeah.
I was afraid, mm-hmm. I'll admit.
Yeah, so that one is scary.
So, moving on to part three of the movie. At this point, like we were just talking, she actually goes and seeks help from a therapist slash psychiatrist.
So good for
her. And she asks for Risperdal.
Used to treat schizophrenia, BPD, and irritability caused by autism.
Anyways, so...
Is Risperdal the same as Xanax?
No. Xanax is not an antipsychotic.
I don't know why I have to like click those stupid Google drop down things.
So she sees that a therapist is asking for medication, which good for her because I think this is like her therapist brain turning on.
And she's saying, like, okay,
like,
I
need help.
Yes. But is her not like fully like being present with herself and just saying, okay, I need to get through this. I'm having PTSD with a patient killing themselves in front of me. I need to just take this medicine and I'll be fine.
Well, what else is she going to do?
Well, it's clear that she has not been going to therapy to unpack the trauma that she very clearly has that has made her life so sad.
True.
Because her therapist is like, oh, you know, it's been good. It's good to see you. It's been a while. And she's like, okay, let's not self-diagnose.
Do you think you'd be a good therapist?
No.
I agree with that. Do you think I'd be a good therapist?
No. You'd space out. Can you repeat that trauma that you just told me?
Sometimes I really do wonder, like, how a therapist does not space out when someone's talking.
They probably do.
They maybe do. I would be panicking if I was a therapist and I spaced out.
Someone's bearing their soul to you and you're like, I missed it.
And you worry because what if, like, in your follow-up questions, you ask something that they already answered?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I'd be like, oh, that's embarrassing. Anyway, so she sees a therapist. The therapist suggests that they resume their sessions, and she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. So it fast forward to her getting ready for this party, and she has this, I still can't get over this.
This set off my makeup weirdness alarms.
She has this little jar with concealer that looks like foundation, which looked like something that professional makeup mm-hmm. artists
and put
use.
Like a paintbrush in it.
Yes, she puts like an artist loft yeah. paintbrush in there.
The Michael's level 3.
Michael's level 1. Oh, literally, okay. Those bristles look like they were about
true,
to fall off.
True.
And she dabs the smallest amount of concealer under her eye. Mm-hmm. And she does this on one eye only. She doesn't do concealer on both eyes. No. She does one eye only. So, it fast forward, and this is the birthday party that they were talking about in dinner. This is Holly's son's birthday party, whose name...
Friggin' dork.
I don't know. And I personally said that this guy could be Justin Jr. He looked like he could be Justin.
What if he's like... His face is so round. He could be like our son. Me with a round face. The kid was white, though. Very white.
I don't know how to feel about that comment because, one, you just implied that he got my face and that my face is round, which is true.
Your face is round. What do you mean?
My face is round.
Your face is like a fish, not derogatory.
Okay. Fish are not round. I guess a catfish.
Yeah, you're right. That's Sheila, your face is beautiful. Fish. It looks like a blowfish. How would you feel?
I didn't say these people's lips were a blowfish. I said it just reminded me of a fish. That's it.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Okay.
Anyway, so these kids are singing happy birthday. Mm-hmm.
These parents are awful. I made a note here that whoever wrote these like side character crappy people just dislikes people as much as we do.
I don't dislike people.
Dislikes that type of person.
I do dislike that type of person.
As much as we do.
That is true.
Right.
That's like, true. But I feel like the actors, including the kids' actors, were amazing in this movie.
Yeah. Agree.
They
were really fun to just be annoyed by.
It looked like I was actually attending a snobby person's birthday party.
Yeah.
It really did. But anyway, so they're singing happy birthday. Then it shoots to the kid, whose name we don't know, Justin Jr., opening his presents. I was going to say opening Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. Opening his presents. So... As he's doing this, it's time for him to open Rose's present. And as he starts to open it, he goes and uncovers it, removes the tissue paper.
Just gets dead silent.
Dead silent. You see the change in his face. Again, Academy Award winning.
Yeah, this kid did pretty good. I'll admit it.
And he goes ahead and grabs whatever's in that box, which we don't know yet, mm-hmm. and takes out...
Straight face.
Mustache.
So just lifts up mustache. The dead... cat.
Yes, it's not even like mustaches, which by the way, it had to have been dead. Like,
well, duh.
It would have like
Schrodinger's mustache, basically.
Anyways, I don't know what I expected to see, mm-hmm. but I certainly didn't expect to see a dead cat, especially because he put his hand in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and then just kind of lifted
it up like
nothing.
Can you get like leprosy or something?
That's armadillos.
Rabies. You could certainly get something by touching a dead cat.
Some kind of sick. I don't know.
You can't just not get something from touching a dead cat.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of fungal and bacterial activity going on there. I don't know.
Anyway, that was my actual scaredy cat.
That was, yeah. That
cat was...
Yeah,
that
kid's
cat
contaminated.
Was scared.
But yeah, so Rose killed her cat, boxed it up, mm-hmm. wrapped it, and gave the dead cat as a gift to her 7-year-old nephew, opens the dead cat in front of all of these people. The way I would just want to die, right there. Put me in the box with mustache. I'm out.
She has a meltdown and she falls on the table. Glass breaks everywhere. I don't know why that's so funny to
it's
hear.
So
she
funny.
Fell on the table.
It's
poor
just,
girl.
It's just like the culmination of like the worst possible circumstances. That's my kind of horror, actually. Like okay. Social anxiety horror.
That is true. That is actually Justin's scaredy cat moment.
Yeah. Literally like nothing. Like I could have a monster crawl in my face and make me set myself on fire. And spoilers. And that's preferable to what happened to Rose there.
So she is in a hospital, and I want to go on a tangent here, which I will go on. And this is the pain assessment tool tangent. So for those of you who don't know, a pain assessment tool is when they ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is your pain? So here's my beef with that. I feel like... Okay, Justin, have you ever been at a 10?
No. this.
Would you ever say you're out of 10?
No, unless I'm like, unless someone is like actively understanding my pain. No, the worst pain I've ever felt was when I got my wisdom teeth taken out. I didn't go under for it because, I don't know, I thought it was cool. And then the Novocaine.
That sounds like something you'd do.
It would, yeah, it's on brand. But, and then the Novocaine for my back left molar didn't work. Whoa. So they started drilling, and I felt it hit my nerve and break my tooth. And that was the worst pain I've ever felt. And I could still feel that distinct pain today. But I'd call it like an 8, because I don't know what else is out there.
That's pretty high.
It was hard. That was the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life.
I have this theory that Justin's pain tolerance is pretty low.
All right, let me get you go and get your wisdom teeth out with a drill.
Okay, but you're right. Teeth-related things are
hard. My tooth
broke,
and it was drilling into the nerve.
Okay, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
Since you asked, my worst pain that I have felt is...
What's your worst pain you ever felt?
Shut up.
I'm going to edit it so it sounds like I flipped it.
The worst pain I've ever felt has been, like, whenever I've had, like, a stomach flu, and I'm just, like, it's coming out from both sides. And it's just, like, I'm dehydrated, like, not...
So, here's my thing with this.
What?
That to me doesn't feel like an acute pain.
What do you mean, acute pain?
Like...
Everything I experience is acute pain.
Yeah, you are very cute.
Because I'm cute.
Oh, God.
I think some of the worst pain I have felt have been, like, cramp-related, whether it's for, like, my period or I have, like, a stomach flu or something. It just generally feels like everything is stabbing you,
yeah,
and someone is grabbing your intestines and just wringing
them. Tying them in knots.
Yeah, like ooh, a sponge, God, when you do that to a sponge. That's true.
I wish I could feel what your periods feel like so we could really know.
Yeah.
How much of a wimp I am compared to you.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm just a wimp and they're like pretty low or mild and I just don't know how to handle it. Anyway, so my beef with the pain assessment tool is I don't feel like I could ever get to the point where I could say I have a 10.
You gotta be very confident to say a 10.
Because I think, like, there are worse things in this world. There are people who have been shot. There are people who are going through, like, cancer treatments. There's people who have, like, third-degree burns. Those are, like, 10s.
To me, yeah, having a third-degree burn that's being debrided without...
Debriefed. Sorry.
Debrided without, like, any kind of anesthetic. Sounds like the worst possible pain to me.
Yeah, so I think for me, the highest I've scored anything is like a 5 or a 6.
Tough guy.
But my issue with it is, like, so example, yesterday I was at the hospital and they asked me for the pain assessment tool. And I think the main reason I was there is because I had passed out and I had, like, severe muscle weakness, joint pain, and just, like, extreme fatigue. I felt, like, super weak, and when they asked me this pain assessment tool, what am I supposed to say? Because, like, the only pain I'm feeling is in my joints, and it's not, like, severe enough for me to be like, it's a 5, it's a 10.
Yeah.
But
it's, like, what you're feeling is
but
severe.
But what I'm feeling is bad. Like, the level of which I felt, like, very weak, like, about to pass out, was, like,
intense.
A 7,
yeah.
8.
Yeah.
But they don't ask that.
No.
They don't ask that. They ask a pain assessment tool.
That's stupid.
Which gives me...
Which, like, of the frowny faces most accurately describes your
the
pain?
The one that's crying. The one that's literally crying.
Yeah.
That's me. Anyways, so she comes back from the hospital and she finally tells someone. She tells Trevor, who, of course, how do you think Trevor's going to react? I was not surprised by this
There's
at
no
all.
There's no such thing as ghosts.
And then he goes and goes off on her and tells her... He's like, it's genetic, right?
It's genetic.
And then throws in her face the fact that her mom committed suicide.
Yeah. And so therefore, she's troubled. And now he's hitched himself to a crazy person.
Yes. He, like, specifically mentions that. He's like, is this what I'm going to, like, tie my whole life to?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude,
well,
you suck.
You don't.
You
yeah,
really
this guy's the worst.
Suck.
Absolutely the worst.
So nighttime comes, she's reading something, and it flashes to a jump scare of her almost getting run over as she's walking to someone named Mrs. Munoz. We find out that this is the wife of Gabriel.
Who was the professor.
Who was the professor that bludgeoned himself in front of the PhD candidate.
Yeah. And, to add to our sitcom trivia, Carla from Scrubs.
Oh, that's the why. She looked familiar, yeah, too.
She's been in other stuff, too. She's been in a lot of other things. I think she's most known from Carla from Scrubs.
Okay, I have to double
check. I don't know the actress's name.
But anyways, so this completely flops.
Yes. Also, side note, if you have a reactive dog, watch this movie with headphones or play it all the time so that you can desensitize your dog to knocks and doorbells.
Yes.
Because this is not the first and absolutely not the last of the knocks and doorbells that I've set our 10-pound dog off multiple times in this movie, which was so annoying.
So this visit kind of ends up nowhere. I think Rose was trying to get something out of it because she kept asking the wife, Mrs. Munoz, about like something related to it. Mm. But about like her husband, why her husband like went through this. Because Rose starts to fit together the pieces, kind of realizing like there's some spiritual thing that's going on.
Yeah, something's wrong, something is real. And something happened to this girl, the graduate student, which now happened to her.
Yeah. So, Mrs. Munoz, of course, is like, hey, by the way, get out of my house because you're bonkers. Mm-hmm.
But she does learn that someone had killed themselves in front of Gabriel.
Yes. So, it's kind of like posing this question of like, is this a cycle? Mm-hmm. And so, she goes to see Joel, who is the cop at the beginning of the movie. And he, of course, is the stereotypical cop, like, dressed in his little army green hoodie, has his goatee, just like what you picture a cop being. And she asks if he can...
She wants him to look up cases of...
Yes.
Murder, suicides.
These traumatic things happening.
Yeah.
And, of course, Joel is so in love with this girl that he's
Yeah, this
like,
guy's down bad.
Yes, absolutely. Because...
Let's break... I was about to call it HIPAA, but not HIPAA. Police
the
HIPAA.
The cop version of HIPAA.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's like... showing her this footage, this very graphic footage, and you start to see there's this cycle in which there's a person who commits suicide in a very gory way. Mm-hmm. Someone else witnessed that, and then a couple days later, it happens again. And
so the person who witnesses it
then eventually does it themselves. Mm-hmm. And again, it's very gory. And right before they do it, they have the creepy smile that we've been seeing throughout the movie. Okay, so I fast forward to her. At this point, in case you haven't noticed, she is, like, trying to find anyone she could talk to.
She's bebopping all over town.
She is. She really is. And she goes to see, she goes back home and she finds Trevor and her therapist who have an intervention for her, essentially. Oh, they're God, like, hi, we're worried about you. She leaves the two of them to go see her sister and starts asking her sister, she tells her sister she thinks she's been cursed or something along those lines. Which is like, I don't know what you want your sister to do.
Well, yeah. Maybe she's got some crystals or some sage or something that
can... Her sister's going to like, she does look like she'd be that type of person. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so as she leaves her sister tells her like, hey, you gotta go. Like, I don't want you around my family till you get this sorted out.
Yeah.
Which I think it shows this theme throughout the movie of people not supporting her, despite the fact that it looks like she very clearly is mentally not well.
Yeah, this is now the, like, fourth person she's tried to contact. And, like, she has varying levels of, like, how open she is, but she is somewhat trying to ask for help.
And
everyone's just
kind
of, like, judging
her for So, this was almost my scaredy cat moment. Because she's in her car and all of a sudden you see her sister come back out and her sister's kind of like
walking fast.
Yeah, walking like the way a kid walks when they have a tantrum.
Yeah.
In a way. Mm-hmm. And gets to her car.
Like, quickly. That was a test for the dogs.
We both look at Polo to see if he responds. Yeah. But she walks to the car and... you don't see her face because she's, like, not bending down to the window. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you see her body, like, flip in half.
And her head is upside down.
Do you know what she looks
twisted.
Like?
Twisted.
She looks like those, I was going to say garage sales. Those
wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men.
Yes, that sounds like a title that would be, like, an Amazon.
Yeah.
She
wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men for car wash, for car, for wash car, for...
What am I trying to say? It's not a car garage. dealership. Anyways, that was almost my scaredy cat moment.
That was freaky. Those hallucinations are very, very
so cool. Joel drives her to this guy that they learned actually was a part of the cycle but was able to survive. Mm-hmm. And he is in a prison because he killed someone.
Yep, the only way out they found is that you have to kill someone instead of actually killing yourself.
Yes. So essentially you have to murder someone, but it's not just murdering them. It has to be in front of someone else.
Yes. Yes.
So that the spirit passes to the person who witnesses the murder. And that's what the person did. I feel like that's such an ethical morality dilemma.
Do you kill someone else and pass it on, or do you just take yourself out?
Yeah. And it's like, if you choose the former, how do you interface with that? Because I would be like,
What's after?
Yeah,
what's after?
Like, you're just in jail or whatever. So Rose ends up returning home, and the therapist comes to her house, and the therapist tells her like, hey, I'm so sorry that we did this intervention, whatever. This is another moment where the lines between reality and not reality get blurred, because as she's talking to the therapist, she gets a call from the therapist.
Yeah, so it's really cool how the movie like presents this as like real life. We're in the same page as Rose, and then all of a sudden you get something that like breaks the illusion.
Yes.
And it's really creepy, and it cuts back to the therapist, and the therapist is smiling her therapist is calling her on her phone.
Yes. And shall I say, the therapist has the perfect features for a creepy smile.
Very angular face.
Very pointy.
Yeah.
So we find out the therapist is part of the spirit, and she starts chasing Rose. Very creepy. Eventually, I don't even know how Rose escapes, but she does. She
runs out and then like grabs a knife and then goes, starts getting in her car.
She grabs a butcher knife.
Yeah, like full on main kitchen knife.
Yeah. No, it's a butcher knife, right?
No, like a butcher knife's like what they cut meat up with. It's like a
rectangle. Oh, I thought that's what it was.
No, it's just like the main like cut your kitchen vegetables knife.
I thought it was a straight up butcher knife. Anyway, so she goes back to Carl from the beginning. Carl with a K.
Yes. And at the psych hospital.
At the psych hospital. So we assume that she's going to kill Carl and do it in front of someone. So as she's talking to Carl, Carl is like yelling.
Because, he's scared.
Because he's like, this girl is holding a knife to me. Hello. And then all of a sudden, the boss comes in. And you see her completely just like start stabbing him. Yes. Yeah. And then the boss removes his face.
Yeah.
It was a really weird
scene. Really
weird. Really weird scene. But then it flashes to her being in the car. So she's hallucinating this again.
The visions are getting more real, more frequent.
Yes.
Like, things are getting worse. We also learned earlier that like time frame between suicides is like at most a week, at minimum 4 days, and it's been day 4.
Which is what I said at the beginning, that they gave her a week off work set up the plot. Very convenient. But anyway, so she's in her car. At this point, I'm like, what is real? What's not real?
Yeah, yeah.
And her boss comes out and tells her, like, hey, what are you doing here? You should be taking a rest, whatever. He sees the knife in her car and is like, dude, like, whatever, whatever. So she drives away. He calls the cops. And she decides that she needs to be alone. So she drives.
Which I feel like is the only rational
thing, right?
At this point. It's like, okay, clearly this is a pattern. How do I do this so that I don't pass it on?
Exactly. So she goes to her house, her childhood house.
Yes.
Where
decrepit.
We then see a scene in which it flashes back to her mom overdosing in the bed, that beginning scene that the movie started with, and you see the little girl who at this point has been implied that is Rose, and we see the mom ask her to call for help, and she just
backs up. 10-year-old her just backs up and closes the door,
essentially showing that she like let her mom die.
Imagine how scary that is to go back to that place.
Yes, first of all,
bedroom.
Scary because the place looked like
a
disheveled shack.
Yeah.
And
seeing the room that you left your mom to die.
Because of that, Very creepy. Very, very creepy. So she runs and she grabs this lamp, this old lamp from like the 19th century, mm-hmm. if they even had.
Found some oil.
Yes, exactly. So cosplayed. Random. And she waits for the spirit to come. I thought she was going to set herself on fire.
I did think in this moment where like you mentioned earlier, it's like, oh, the lines are getting blurred. I was like, This is a long time without a hallucination. You know, what's real, what's not, what do we know?
We don't even know what's real at this point, but we're assuming that this is reality.
Yes.
So she finally sees this monster. I kept saying that this monster looks like Marilyn Manson.
I don't know if you see it or not. We'll see the rest.
It looks like Marilyn Manson to me.
I feel like that's... I don't know. Is that also mean?
I think Marilyn Manson is a little like problematic, I think.
Oh, I don't know anything about them.
I don't care much for...
That's fair.
I'll do a side-by-side with Marilyn Manson and the monster.
We'll let y'all be the judge of that.
But anyways, so she ends up fighting this monster, and she sets it on fire by accident, and she leaves the house. She is free. She drives over to Joel's, and as she's talking to Joel, she's, like, apologizing to him, and she's asking him if she could stay the night. And so we're all thinking, like, wow,
this was chilling out.
Great.
She did it.
Yes, exactly. The climax of the movie has, like, gone and left. And then Joel does the creepy smile. And then says that he's never going to leave her. So we learn that she is still possessed by this smiling creature.
This thing is still messing with her.
So it flashes back to her in the house. And we
flashes back. It's she's been in the house.
Yes, but like it flashes. Time. The camera flashes back to her in the house. Fair. It flashes back to her in the house, and we learn that she never left the house in the first place.
She's just been in there.
She's been in there. At this point, she runs, or she's outside of the house. She sees Joel that drove up to the house and found her, because apparently they put out an APB on her. Mm-hmm. He found her, which I don't know how he knew.
So I think they probably had a more serious relationship than we know.
Maybe.
If he knew where that house was and he was able to predict... Where she would go. Isolate.
So he's there. She runs into the house, tries to lock herself in. And we then see the actual manifestation of the monster. Like, we actually see the monster in its form.
Multiple faces, like, opening up.
And I was telling Justin that this monster looks exactly like an Italian sausage.
Exactly.
Like an exactly. Italian. Not in the shape, but in the filling.
Would you say it's a mild or spicy?
A sweet.
Sweet?
Sweet. Because of the color.
Yeah, it's very pinkish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched the video. I watched the video earlier today about how they actually fill the casein.
Yeah. Ooh.
It looks very disturbing.
Right?
It looks very disturbing.
You know the linings? I don't know if it's still like that, but some of them are like pig intestines.
I could have gone my whole life without knowing that.
Sorry.
Thank you for telling me that.
You're welcome.
There's certain things that I don't let people tell me, like what hot dogs are made of and what gummies are made of. I don't want to know, so don't tell me.
Okay.
I don't want to know.
I feel like gummies isn't bad.
I don't want to know.
Okay.
So the monster, the Italian sausage.
By gummies, she means like not weed gummies.
No, not weed gummies, like gummy bears.
Yeah.
But anyways, the Italian sausage casein monster starts to expand her mouth and enter her, essentially. It's just like, what does he put? Like his mouth, his hand?
Fingers, yeah.
He's like stretching her. Like
her head, its hands are bigger than her head and like stretches her mouth to fit all his hands in. Disgusting.
My jaw could never.
It would be like.
He wouldn't be able to do that because of my jaw.
Yeah, you're protected. Look at you.
So it is alluded to that she's now officially possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel, for whatever reason, decides to break through the door. Which, okay, if I were Joel, I would not go in there. I know what's gonna happen. Would you go in there?
I think with the adrenaline, he just saw her run in. Like, she ran out the door, Joel pulls up, she runs in.
But he knows what's happening.
But he's not thinking about that. Plus, he's in love with her.
I wouldn't go. I don't care.
Like, I know. I don't want you to run in after me if I'm about to... If we know what's going on, but
you're gonna give me an evil spirit.
That's right.
No, I would not do that. Anyways, Joel walks through the door or runs through the door, breaks through the door.
Yeah, I do want to eventually kick in a door at some point in my life. That would be fun.
I don't think I could physically kick a door open.
I think maybe.
I think I'd like hurt you gotta myself kick before.
Right, for those that don't know, you gotta kick right next to the deadbolt.
I didn't know that. Yeah, so like next to the knob?
The handle and the deadbolt. Yeah, the deadbolt specifically. Because you gotta break the wood. What's that's the on the deadbolt.
Isn't the deadbolt near the knob?
Yeah, true.
Okay. Anyway, so he witnesses her burn herself alive, set herself on fire.
Yeah. No, she's ominously looking away, then turns around.
Oh, she does. She's got the smile. She has a smile. Ooh,
chilling.
And then you don't really see it. You just see Joel's face, which, again, phenomenal acting.
Mm-hmm.
You see his face, and you see in his pupils her corpse on fire.
Yeah.
And boom, it pans to lollipop, lollipop, ooh, lolly, 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 lollipop.
Ba-dum, dum, dum.
That is the song at the end.
Mm-hmm. Good. It's all in good fun.
Why?
I've been thinking about this more. I don't know. But maybe it's like a... It's all good fun for the monster. Like, the monster's just doing it for fun.
Mm. Yes, it's like how lighthearted it is for mm-hmm. him.
Yeah. But that was... That smile.
That is smile for
And the
you.
Cycle continues. Nobody wins.
So...
It's not a happy ending.
All in all... I have like 50 gajillion gold stars doodled in my notes, but that does not mean I give this 50 gajillion gold stars. I don't. I actually, the more I think about this movie,
mm-hmm.
Justin, the more that I realize I don't think I like it.
I wouldn't want to watch it again. Like, I would watch this Insidious again.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch this again.
Mm-hmm. My thought about it is when you watch, if you watch it with, so I think on its own, in a vacuum, the concept is pretty cool. The, like, monster is kind of simple. But, like, everything else around it's, like, interesting.
Yeah.
But, and some of the scares are well done, like we said.
I think the scenes with the scares and the scenes with the smiles
mm-hmm.
were very, sparse. I don't know if that's the right word for it. Yeah, they were scattered.
They were spread out. And also the alternate realities. Hallucinations yes. were cool.
But I just found those very mild and simple.
Yes,
I, like,
agree.
Having watched Smile 2 recently, I feel like I enjoyed that one so much more because it was very dynamic. And the scenes that were, like, blurred between hallucinations and reality, those were very, like, interesting. Like
they did it better.
They yeah. did. It was a lot creepier. There were a lot more creepier smiles in Smile 2.
Mm.
So I personally really liked the second movie, not so much this one.
Yeah.
Now that I watch it a second time.
I'd have to watch the second one again. But when I was watching the first one, the thing that I felt was like, oh, the second one maybe didn't, like, it kept the same playbook. It had more of them, and some of them were cooler, I think.
I disagree with that.
I'd have to look at it again. I don't stand by that strongly.
I think to a certain extent, it's going to keep the same playbook because it is the same story.
And the same monster, too.
But anyway, so that is Smile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other final thoughts for Smile?
I think overall, Smile is a movie that it's nice to watch one time and one time only.
Mm-hmm. I think its horror stuff is... Not actually that.
It's not that deep. Scary. It's jump scares.
Yes.
But it's not that scary. And I think overall, like, one of the topics we didn't touch too much on is this underlying theme about, like, mental illness.
Yes.
And I think that made the movie a lot more serious, which I like mm-hmm. Smile 2 more because it had more interactions with people.
Yeah.
Smile 1, she was alone for a lot of the movie.
It was, yeah, just she was alone and trying to get attention and trying to get help.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, Smile 2, and Smile 2, this was, or Smile 1, that we just talked about, is, like, more about just mental health issues. Whereas, like, Smile 2, I feel like, talks more about, like, addiction and, like, that kind of effect that it has. And I think that's a more interesting way to look at that
yeah.
behavior.
Yeah.
But
Smile 2 had a lot more relationship scenes with yes. other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I liked. I didn't like so much that this was, like, she was, like...
She was so isolated.
Yes. And so it really made for limited dialogue in the Agree. Movie. Mm-hmm. Limited interactions. Those interactions that were there were very brief also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why I didn't like the movie as mm-hmm. much. Because I like seeing people interact yeah. and what that looks like.
I do think the idea of, like, okay... Having a mental health crisis that no one believes you in. as is horror. Isolating. Well, I was just saying, like, in from a, like, a horror perspective, yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's cool, and I agree with you now, thinking about it more, that Smile 2 probably executed more on that. I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah, but anyway, overall, I think the movie was fun to watch for one time.
Would recommend, but it's if you're just starting out in horror, I would maybe start with other stuff now that we looked at it a little closer.
Yeah, but I would watch Smile 2. That movie I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need to watch Smile 1 for Smile 2.
You really don't. No. But... Yeah. That is it for our recap.
Yeah. So next week, we did a 2010s classic. We did a current one. I think now we're going to go a little more fun, a little more old, and we'll figure that out.
Anyways, that was Smile.
Yeah.
This is Scaredy Chats, and we'll see you all next week.
Yeah.
For our next movie.
Good night.
Lollipop. 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 Lollipop, lollipop, ooh, lollipop.
Good night.
Good night.